Well, this is Janmashtami, the third celebration of Lord Krishna. And we're very fortunate that we have now a new place for gathering to invite the public in Dublin. This is not exactly a grand opening, but it's an opening at a very auspicious time. And we who appreciate what it means to have a public place, which will become a preaching center, a place for distributing knowledge of Krishna consciousness and prasadam, we should express our gratitude to Manu Das Adhikari, who was more or less single-handedly brought this about. We all have our engagements which we are busy in doing, and he has made his engagement to selflessly provide this space, and now we can all participate. So I want to thank him, and he's no doubt already getting the mercy and the thanks of Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada. So, I'm going to read a series of verses about Lord Krishna's appearance from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai, thank you. From the prayers of Queen Kunti. So she's actually speaking face to face with Krishna at the time he was about to leave. And in this connection she's describes his appearance. Vedakaschid Bhagavam Shikirshitam Tavehamanasya Nirnam Vidambanam Nayasya Kaschid Dayatos Tikarhichid Dveshyas Chayasmin Vishamamatir Nirnam. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so are misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimani Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastatavi Sakarani. In the purport, as Srila Prabhupada says, the very conception of the personality of Godhead as a human being is misleading. His pastimes appear to be a human being's, but they are transcendental without any material conception. Just we have many pictures of Krishna done by artists according to the descriptions in the scriptures. And there's such a picture on the cover of the Krishna book. And in his introduction, Prabhupada says, people, when they see a book like this, they want to ask, who is Krishna? Who is the girl with Krishna? He appears to be a human being. So, this is very bewildering, not only to the non-devotee, but sometimes to the devotee. If he tries to impose the limited conception on God, then we think sometimes that God must be an impersonal force, or like a light. And so there are so many impersonal conceptions of God, or very vague personal conceptions. But Krishna is very much evident as a person, with all his activities are described, and even his form is described. So Queen Kunti says that's a fact, that this appears to be misleading. Not that Krishna is trying to mislead anyone, but we think, as they say, man is the measure of all things, and therefore if God appears human-like, it must be something that was created by man. This is called the anthropomorphic idea of God. That God was invented by the human race and given human attributes. But actually, there is no real Godhead, except perhaps an impersonal Godhead. But the fact is that janmadhyasataha, everything comes from the Supreme. Instead of being human-centered, we should understand things from the theocentric viewpoint, that everything comes from God, and man is made in God's image. So, but he is not human being with all the limitations and the mortality of the human being. He has many, many spiritual forms, and he has his original form of Krishna. So some of these points will be described verse after verse. We can try to hear and appreciate them. In this particular verse, she's saying that one evidence that although you appear human, actually you are Godhead, is that you're not partial like human beings. Human beings are partial. You're partial to your family members or your community members. Some human beings become broad-minded, but no one can be as impartial and all-embracing as the personality of Godhead. So for someone who appears to be a human to have that infinite nature is difficult to understand materially. Then Queen Kunti goes on. Janma karma cha vishvatman adyakarturatmana tiryam nrishishu yadhashu tad adyanta vidambanam. Of course it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work although you are inactive, and that you take birth though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend among animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. Now, this verse begins with the two words, janma karma, which are also the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita verse, janma karma cha me divyam, evam yo viditakata chakpa diham puna janma naiti mami sojan. Janma karma. Whoever understands the janma, the birth of Krishna, this day is called janmastami. Whoever understands how Krishna is born and what his karma is, or his activity, that person, at the time of death, who has that knowledge, will not return to birth again, but goes to the spiritual abode, the abode of Krishna. And that is stated here also. What do we have to understand about Krishna's birth? Well, in brief, that he was not born like we are, forced by our previous reactions and material desires, born of a mother and father, but he appears, we call it his birthday, but he appears in the world, coming from the spiritual world to this world. But we're going to have a drama tonight also to see some of this. And it does appear that Krishna does have a mother and father, that he did appear as a baby. But you'll see in the play that no baby appeared as he did, and that the mother and father of Krishna are actually devotees of the Lord who qualified to take this service of being instruments to bring about the occasion of the Lord's appearance. And similarly, his karma is not forced. It's actually lila. It's pastimes of our activities that the Lord does here in this world just to attract people back to Godhead, and he comes to favor his devotees. So this has to be understood also. And in short, the only way you can understand him, as she says several times, you're bewildering, is to understand that God is inconceivable, and therefore everything is possible in him. The impersonalist says God is inconceivable, therefore he couldn't be a person, Krishna, because Krishna is conceivable. He has a form. Whereas inconceivable means no one can say anything about it. But that's not the understanding of inconceivable we get from the Vedic Shastras. We get the understanding that he is a person. He's not denied personality. Our personality comes from God's. He's a person, but he has inconceivable potency. And he can do anything. How can God be denied personality? He has personality, he has impersonality, but he's inconceivable. So how he appears as a cowherd boy or as a youth, and is still the all-pervading Godhead, that is his power, his potency to do anything. Now, this is difficult to understand for the non-devotee, and becomes easy for the devotee to whom Krishna reveals this in his heart. Let's look a little more. Gopi ajade twai kritagasi damatavad yate darashrashru kalilanjana samam braksham vakram niniya vayabhavanaya stitasya samam vimo hayati bir apiyati veki. My dear Krishna, Yasoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Now even more extraordinary nature of Krishna. Not only he's a person, but he does not even appear always in the superior position among other persons. Sometimes Krishna appears as the king among men in his incarnation of Rama and in many other forms. But when he's Krishna in his childhood pastimes, he takes a subordinate position to his devotees. So she says, this sight is bewildering to me. Those who worship Krishna or love Krishna in these, we call them subordinate forms, like a child and they're his parent, they forget even that he's God. No ordinary person could become the parent of Krishna or an elder well-wisher. Only a pure devotee could do that, does that. But when they take that position, because they want to love him, not just in awe and reverence, that's the standard way to approach God. He's so great, and you pray to him, ask him for mercy, ask him for some desire you have. God the Father, God the Almighty, this is proper. But the intimate knowledge we get from the Shastra is that God himself doesn't enjoy that kind of relationship as much as a more intimate exchange. So if a devotee wants to love Krishna very intensely, he may enter into a relationship where when the devotee is purified, he or she may become like the parent of Krishna. And that's what she's describing here. But Queen Kunti, she's not one of the direct parents of Krishna, so she says, Mother Yasoda may tie you up as if she's your mother, but if this is bewildering to me, how this can be done. Next. Kechid ahur ajam jatam punya slokas yakirtaye yado priyas yana vaye mama yasye vachandanam. Now, Queen Kunti starts describing reasons why Lord Krishna appeared. We've already said that he wasn't forced. That you or I, we appeared, we were born, because in our past life, when we died, we had some material desires, and therefore Krishna kindly allowed us to come back again. Fortunately, we're in the human form this time. It was a great opportunity to go back to Godhead. Or at least not to fall down into lower form of life. So if Krishna doesn't come by that force, then why did he come at all? Why come to this material world, a place of suffering? So now, and there's a series of verses saying why Krishna came. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings. And others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Because Krishna's appearance is bewildering, there's different opinions now why he came here. Someone says to please the king, Yadu, and be born in his family. And someone else says to glorify the kings. Actually, these are valid reasons. None of these reasons are wrong. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, the general reason he appears is Paritranaya Saranam Vinishaya Chaduskritam. I appear to destroy the evil or demoniac force and to favor and protect these devotees, sadhanam. I appear in every age. When religion is being depressed or eclipsed, and when irreligion is very prominent, then Krishna says, I come to establish true religion. So under that general reasoning, we hear some specific opinions. Another opinion is apare vasudevasya devakyam yachito vyagat ajastvam asyakshemaya vadhaya cha suradvisham. Now others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. This is the direct pastime of Krishna's appearance, reference to mother and father, Devaki and Vasudeva, and to kill persons like Kamsa, who were causing so much distress to all the saintly persons and innocent persons at that time, and to protect the devotees, he came. This is also correct. It is not either or, but they're all correct. He came to be a member of the Yadu family, to praise the kings, the pious kings, and to become the son of these devotees who performed austerities to have Krishna as their son, Vasudeva and Devaki, and to kill the demon Kamsa. And other reasons now. Bharavatara nayanye bhuvo nava ivodado siddhantya bhuri parena jato hi atma uvartita. Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. Actually, the 10th canto of Krishna book begins with Lord Brahma going to the spiritual planet within this material universe, Svetadvipa, and there on the edge of the milk ocean, Brahma meditates and chants this Purusha Shukta prayer. And in his meditation, Krishna spoke to him. Brahma came because at that time the world was overburdened by military forces of the demons. And as the chief demigod, Brahma was praying to the Lord, what's going to be done to alleviate all this evil in the world? And Lord Krishna, as Lord Vishnu assured him, I will come soon in my appearance as Krishna. So this is described here, that in response to the prayers of Brahma, that's why Krishna came. So in one sense, each of these opinions is being offered as if it's the only one. That one person, you say, why did Krishna come? Someone says, oh, he came because of Lord Brahma's prayer. Someone else says, in my opinion, he came because Devaki and Vasudev desired that he be their son. But we will conclude that it's for all these things, which all come under the category of Krishna wanting to please his devotees, mainly, the main reason. Just two more verses I'll read. Bhavesmin klishyamananam abhijakama karma bi shravana smaranarhani karisyan iti kechana. And yet others say that you appeared to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. So we said earlier that according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna appears in every millennium to rejuvenate religion. And here specifically it says what that form of religion is, shravana, smarana, to hear about him. This is the process of bhakti yoga, which we're reciting from the scriptures, so you can hear about the science of God, or just by chanting, you hear the holy name. And then, if you hear sufficiently and nicely, you can remember Krishna, and then you can also chant Krishna. So this is what he teaches, especially in this age. Of course, Krishna appeared in the previous age, 5,000 years ago. And in this age, in a different millennium now, that was the Dwarpa Yuga, now it's the Kali Yuga, a worse age. Krishna appeared in this age as Lord Chaitanya. And he taught this also, this Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, especially by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare. No other means to understand God in this age except to chant his name. We're so bankrupt of time in our life is short. We have very little powers or inclination, and the opposing forces are very much expanded in Kali Yuga. So if somebody really wants spiritual life, it's not enough to just belong to a religion, but you have to take shelter of the Dharma for the Kali Yuga, and that is to chant, to glorify God through his name, or names. So this is why he came, to personally distribute the Dharma, or the holy name, or the teachings of Krishna. For example, Krishna in his appearance 5,000 years ago, he did this by teaching the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, rejuvenated religion. And in that Bhagavad Gita he concluded, Sarva Dharma Parityajamani Kam Sarvam Bhajam. Give up all religious activities of an intermediate stage and just surrender to me personally. Then I'll relieve you from all sinful reaction. Don't be afraid. So all these different reasons or opinions are given why God comes into the world. And then she concludes, Shrinvanti gayanti grananti abhikshnasa smaranti nandanti tavehitam jana taeva pasyanti achirena tavakam bhava prava ho paramam padam bhujam. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So this is the recommendation. To appreciate Krishna more, you have to hear about him, not just once a year, but you hear about Krishna regularly, and you'll gain an appreciation. Instead of hearing so many other topics about so many other persons, we should hear about God, God's devotees, and develop attraction for that. Hear about it, talk about it. Use our occupational duty in some way to serve Krishna. And these practices will develop our original taste for serving Krishna. And Queen Kunti says that if one does that, then he will see Krishna. The eyes will become purified, spiritualized, that you will see Krishna. And if that happens, then your repetition of birth and death is stopped. So that brings us again to that Bhagavad Gita verse. Janma karma cha me divyam. One who understands the divine nature of Krishna's appearance and his activities doesn't take birth again in this material world. It doesn't happen all at once, but we have to begin by hearing. We may have so many doubts, or our minds are distracted when the topics of Krishna are being discussed. But this Janmashtami is a nice occasion to think about Krishna's activities in different ways, and where some of us are fasting and then we're feasting, seeing the deity form in every single way by all the senses. We serve the Lord and pray to the Lord, please engage me in your service. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments about that? How's the theater group doing? Let me find out how much time they have. Argo, how much time? Krishna is ready to appear now in a dramatic form. So, thank you very much.